Folks, I got to warn you, Mr. Winnie's going to sound a little bit more sultry than normal because we've just installed an entire new studio. We've invested thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Oh, it's not much. But it is to us. We've got an entire new studio. We may sound pretty good, and it's just the equipment. It's not us.
We're going to sound better.
I sound really good.
You sound incredible, Mr. Winnie.
We had some good guests on today, though, didn't we?
We did. So we talked about a very important topic today. 2020 has been a very difficult year for entrepreneurs.
Big time.
Yes. So today we talked about relationships with entrepreneurs. And I can't think of a better time. It's 2 days before Christmas. We're all thinking about our families and our loved ones. I really hope you guys enjoy this. It was a really thought-provoking conversation. It's Corey and JoJo Rankin.
Thank you for calling Launch and Go. This is Darren.
Hey, buddy. It's President Bill Clinton. How you doing?
I'm good, Mr. President. How are you today? Happy holidays.
Oh, thanks. Same to you, Darren. Hey, I missed you, buddy. Really excited. I heard you guys are doing a podcast today on relational issues with your business partner, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I sure do. It's going to be a great episode. Well,
I got to tell you, Darren, I've been, you know, Hillary and I got that Clinton Foundation business together.
Right.
Tell you what, man, it's tough on our relationship.
Why is that?
The other day I was sitting there at the computer.
Yeah.
I was counting up some of the foreign direct investments we embezzled, you know. I was just sitting there minding my own business, and you know, Hillary came in and she just grabbed the keyboard and just started beating the tar out of me, buddy. I mean, she was beating me so hard there was keys flying everywhere.
You weren't doing anything?
I thought she was gonna kill me.
Well, what do you mean you weren't doing it? You were just sitting there. What was going on?
Buddy, I was just sitting there, you know, naked on one of them porn chats, and she just freaked out. I don't know what happened.
All right,
man.
Mr. President.
Crazy.
Well, that could have been the problem.
Hey, but listen, it just keeps happening, Darren. I'm telling you, just last week, I was in the bathroom minding my own business.
She
came in and just freaked out. She started throwing perfume bottles out, you know, the big sharp ones. She threw bath bombs.
So you were just,
you know,
you were minding your own business?
Darren.
What?
She grabbed the toilet seat, ripped it off, throwed it at me, almost killed me again. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't doing, Darren.
You weren't?
Buddy. I wasn't doing nothing. I was just laying there naked in the tub with one of the neighbor ladies.
Well,
I just don't get, hang on. Hang on, buddy.
All right, Mr. President, sure.
Taylor, oh, hey. Oh, God, she's here. I gotta go.
Welcome to Beer in Business. You found the best podcast for entrepreneurs. We serve crafty business knowledge, comedy, and yes, beer. And now it's time for our hosts. If he were to pat you on the back, you'd list it on your resume. It's Jake Mullins. And his beer never gets warm. It just sits there, staying frosty, waiting for him. Mr. John Winnie. And if you spell his name in Scrabble, you automatically win. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Darren Flanagan.
Corey and JoJo, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Man, we're really excited to have you guys on the show today because I couldn't think of a more appropriate topic leading into Christmas after this effed up year than dealing with relationships in your business. Can you,
Absolutely.
Darren?
Relationships in my business.
Well,
thank goodness, I'm my own owner and I have no employees. So.
Well,
I'm doing all right.
And you are in a relationship with yourself. But before we get down to business, boys, we are drinking the official beer of the Beer and Business Podcast. We are drinking Lime Creek Brewing Stouts for Staying Alive. This is a series. We've had a few of these.
Mm-hmm.
This newest one, it's a pastry stout series. It's Mexican cake.
A Mexicano?
Mexican cake.
I like it.
Yeah. It's actually really good. It's a little sweeter than I typically like my stouts, but this one pulls it off well. It almost tastes like a chocolatey tres leches.
That's a big word.
Yeah, that's three.
Well, there's
that means three cheeses. Even you don't know that, Darren.
You working on the wall while you're drinking this?
Jeez. And I made Mexico pay for it. No, this is really good.
It's got a little pepper in it, too. That's the
thing. Does.
Get that finish in there. That's so
little,
sweet hot.
Little spice right at the end.
Kind of like
very, very good. Guys, it's the 23rd. We got 2 days till Christmas.
That's right.
Every man on your Christmas list wants Lime Creek under the tree.
Whole brewery or just some of their
beer? Well, I mean, if you could figure out how to wrap that, that'd be great, but I'll settle for a few cases.
Yeah.
All right.
So go to the brewery packets, or go to your bottle shop. Make sure you support the brewery because they support us, which means they support you because we deliver this to you for free. So, and you get delicious beer. So, I mean, this is a win-win-win situation.
Now pay attention. They do have modified hours this week.
They do.
So I know Christmas Eve, they're only open till 6:00, and Christmas Day, they are actually closed. So if you're trying to escape, you know, the family that's coming over, you're out of luck, people.
Plan you don't ahead. Get to you need go to bring Lion it home
Creek for the day. Bring it home and go hide in your garage.
Yes.
So,
all right. Well, thank you, Lion Creek. Another delicious beer. You knocked it out of the park. So Corey and JoJo, I don't even know where to start, but I have a
spot. Vegas, baby. Let's start in Vegas.
Yeah, they are in Vegas. So you guys help entrepreneurs, I think specifically, maybe entrepreneurs that are in a marriage or relationship together.
Yes.
Yep. Which I got to tell you, I'm all ears because that's me. My business partner is my wife.
Exactly. Yep.
So
I love that.
Selfishly, I'm really, really paying attention today.
Good. Maybe we can teach you a few tips, right? Oh,
I hope you teach me more than a few. So how did you guys get into this?
Well, when you talked about Vegas being a good starting point, that's exactly where our journey started. We had a local tragedy in our community a couple of years back, and that was where our journey is focusing on as an entrepreneur started. JoJo was working as a nurse, and that day she felt that her purpose in life was to save families, and that kind of got us on our path to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and just a little background of that. So I was talking with Corey about the recent events, and so many were affected. And I just had a very strong impression that your mission in life is to help families. And I thought for a minute, like, okay, that's cool. I was already in my undergrad to become a therapist. I'm in grad school right now to be a therapist. And we had been foster parents for, I don't know, that time, probably about 5 years. And so I thought, that's cool. We've had about 30 kids in our home as foster parents. Wow. We have 5 kids that we have almost all the way adopted. So then fast forward a little bit, we were at a physical therapy conference in Florida, and we felt very strongly that the time is now to start our business. Now, we've always coached couples, so I think it's interesting because I had never, ever wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like Corey did his background is in physical therapy. And so his whole plan was to open up a clinic. And my whole plan was to become a therapist and to open up a clinic. Like, so there was no, like, we're going to start our own business in a non-traditional way. And we're going to, you know, just coach couples. Like, that was never in the plan. But when we were at the physical therapy conference a couple of years ago or last year, we got the prompting again that now's the time to start our business. And so we thought about it, and we've always had couples come to our house with marriage concerns and parenting concerns, because let's face it, we've had so many kids in and out of our home. That's a lot of turmoil on a family. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've cracked the code on how to work together as a spouse and how to teach that to other spouses. Because now we work with 3 different populations. So we work with individuals that want to work solely on their marriage without including their spouse. We work with entrepreneurs that work together in their business to help with communication and those type of things. But our most common people that come to us are entrepreneurs that one is the entrepreneur and the other one is not. Because we found that so many couples they're doing great, and then all of a sudden someone wants to open up a business, and it creates this ginormous wedge, right?
And your whole life then
their
becomes
whole life flips upside down.
It's kind of like us here, right? So we have a couple entrepreneurs, and then we have our
career man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most stable, normal one of the bunch. Imagine that.
And he just looks at us each day and goes, better you than me. Better you than me. Yeah. Why do you do that?
It's really interesting. So I want to back you up just a second. So what led you into helping couples in the first place was just your experience in foster care, which I got to imagine kind of really helps you mature quickly and learn a lot about just being a human and how to interact with people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. When you wake up one morning and you have two kids and by the time you go to bed, you have four, things change very quickly.
You really have to be on your A game of how to communicate with your spouse, because let me tell you, toddlers, teenagers, it's all the same. Tantrums are legit across the board.
Right. Yeah, and you're dealing with kids that are coming from really difficult situations a lot of times and dealing with emotional hardship, which just cranks it up to 11.
Yeah. Let me share a story with you about emotional hardship. So our four-year-old, he came into our home at 16 months old, and went the environment he came to our home from, his mom was using drugs. She was on and off the streets. He was raised mostly by his grandma, but never had any consistency his whole 16 months of his life. Sometimes he was on the streets. Sometimes he was with a friend. Sometimes it was with grandma. But his mom never really provided any stability for him. His father was never present. So when he came into our home, he actually spent the first 4 or 5 months that he was in foster care in the home of a family friend. And she loved him to death, but did everything for him at 16 months old.
Spoiled and rotten.
He was good. He was able to do very little on his own. He could talk, but he wouldn't. He wanted everything handed to him. And that is not the environment in our home. And so when we came to our home, the way that we receive a child into our home is we just try to shower them with the increase in love, because that's something that they often haven't had. We shower them with consistency, with the routine, really make them feel safe. And that's the same thing.
Build their independence.
That's the same thing we did with this little boy as he entered our home. But he entered our home depressed for 3 weeks straight. He did nothing but cry. And a lot of people say that as an exaggeration, but I am honest. And
it was legit.
If he wasn't eating or sleeping, he was crying. Oh. On a rare occasion, he would isolate himself in the hallway with the car and just occupy himself, but he didn't know how to receive love. We couldn't give him a hug. We couldn't say, I love you. He didn't even want to be with us. He just wanted to be by himself. He's very much an introvert, but it's been such a blessing over the last 2.5 years that he's been in our home to see him start to find himself, to see him start to find his personality, and see him to learn how to receive love. Because there's nothing sweeter now than this little boy that will come sit on my lap and just stay there for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, where 2 years ago, I couldn't even get 2 minutes of his time. He just didn't know how to receive that love. And so that's one example of just the trauma and the struggles that kids may experience in foster care.
Yeah, you just made all of our problems seem really, really dumb.
Yeah.
Because that's, thank God for you guys. I mean, that's just, it's amazing work that you're doing. And it's very clear why people would come to you in the first place with, you know, wanting advice about how to deal with their relationship or their kids. Because my God, to deal with that kind of stuff, I'm sure you do have to be absolutely on your A game.
Well, if you're working with kids like that, I mean, an adult should be no problem.
Well, it depends on if his name is Darren Flanagan, then that changes the game a little bit.
Now, do you guys, when the children that you take in, do you have a certain age range that you prefer to receive kids
into
your home?
Yeah, so because I'm in school and stuff, we took toddlers, babies to toddlers, but our typical age range is the toddler age, because we usually did 0 to 5, I think, was our age range. Mm-hmm. But because at that age, we can kind of mold them to gain one, independence, learn how to be emotionally stable, because let's face it, none of us are emotionally stable, right? Like, especially as children, like I remember I was so off all the time, but that's part of the learning. That's part of the growing. And so we try to focus on helping them become one, independent, because who knows if they are going home, you know, who knows where they're going to be the next day. And so as much independence that they can get to learn things, to grow, to become and to develop, that's as much as we can. That's the best gift we can give them other than love, you know. And so that's our main focus, is because at that age, we can kind of mold to help them to discover things that will help them for the rest of their life.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So I want to shift gears and talk about your focus on entrepreneurs, because I love that you guys have zeroed in on that, because We've talked about this many times on the podcast, but we haven't gone into the depth that we'll probably go into today talking about it. But being an entrepreneur is really hard.
No. Yeah. I mean, really?
Yes. And of course, we've talked about that so many times. But the one thing that we have, we talked to Chris and Liz McKay about this a little bit. We've danced around the subject, but taking it like to the HNL, the whole nother level, is when you're in business with your spouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because that implements a whole different set of dynamics. Now you have to figure out, you know, how to love and support each other in one way. And then also like how to hold each other accountable and drive a business with the exact same person. It's really, really difficult.
And not nag them at the same time.
Right.
Right. So
do you guys foster entrepreneurs at all?
Do you try to talk people out of this? I mean, seriously.
We already know. I mean, you don't have to teach us independence. You can teach us other skills.
Maybe you can teach me a little codependence. That might be healthy. That might be
a lot better. Right?
So let's start from the beginning. What are some of the relational challenges that entrepreneurs face that, you know, normal, like say normal in huge air quotes here, but normal couples won't experience?
Yeah. So just a little back up a little bit. So we used to coach normal people, right? Like, but then as we became entrepreneurs, so many entrepreneurs kept coming to us and we're like, what's going on? And then we found that their problems, if you want to call them problems, are totally different than a typical couple. Because if you take entrepreneurs, what are we usually driven? We're usually independent. We're usually like, we've got an idea and we want the world to know about it. Like, those are our type of addictions typically. Those are the things right. that drive us. Whereas a typical couple, it's not necessarily the same thing, right? Like, there's other things that get in the way. There's communication for everybody that's always off, right? But so if we were to take an entrepreneur, the biggest things, and I forgot what your question was, so I apologize.
Well, his question is, what are some of the things that kind of get in the way as an entrepreneur that a normal couple doesn't have to face? And the thing with that is, an entrepreneur, they are driven with productivity. They are driven with, what is my next big thing? They're driven with, how can I push the business forward? What connections do I have to make? And an employee, yes, in a supervisor role or management role, they have those same things. But in many 9-to-5 jobs outside of management, you can do a pretty good job of leaving work at work and then be present at home. But as an entrepreneur, with the drive that you have, it's very hard to turn that drive off. Yes, it's very hard to leave work at work. It's very hard to have a boundary that is, it's 7 o'clock. I'm done with work.
Did you say leave work at work? I don't know what that means.
I do it every day.
Is any of these things resonating with you, John, at all?
Perfect example, right?
Nope. He's like, better you than me.
So I think I can probably help this with my own experience.
Yeah.
So when Kelly and I decided to start our business together, you know, we've been married for 15 years and we're together for, gosh, almost 5 years before we
Bless
got married.
Bless her soul.
And tell me about it.
15 years.
Has anybody earned sainthood around here? Yes, Kelly has.
I hope you got a really, really good Christmas present this year because she deserves it.
Yes. So, you know, I've been with her for a very long time and always viewed her as my partner in life. You know, I loved her. She's, you know, my best friend, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day I find myself in business with her.
Yep.
And it's a little different because now I've always been driven. We're pushing to do things differently than others had done. So where others say no, we say, well, how can it be done? So we're really pushing hard, holding ourselves accountable. But then we ran into this roadblock of holding each other accountable.
Didn't you fire her once already?
I did. Yeah. She's back to work.
She's not going away. No
Many
exchanges,
times,
no
I'm sure she's tried to fire
I did, it, it, That's fake news, Mr. Witty. Okay. I didn't actually fire her.
I know.
Technically, I did, but that's a whole other story.
Did you give her a whole resignation? You gave her a package. Here's your package.
It's for tax reasons, okay? And don't tell the tax man, oh, crap, I hope he's not listening. But anyways, seriously, we had this really difficult time in the beginning trying to figure out, like, how do we hold each other accountable when you're used to propping each other up? That's a really weird dichotomy. You know, normally it's like when your spouse is feeling bad, you try to lift them up and you're always being supportive. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, how does she hold me accountable because I forgot to call somebody back? Or the work that I did wasn't good enough and she knows I can do better. How do you approach that topic?
Work on your penmanship. That would be a good start.
Yeah, that's quite challenging. But before I can answer that, I need to back up just a little bit. So when we're dealing with an entrepreneur, a one entrepreneur household, especially if they've already been married or in their relationship and then the business comes, a lot of the times what happens when an entrepreneur goes hard in the business, it becomes an individual thing. They almost try to separate the family and the business, which is actually the wrong approach. But when that happens, the family doesn't really kind of know what's going on. The spouse doesn't really know. And so in a one entrepreneur home, the entrepreneur is the one, oh, I got this. I got to grind. I got to grind. And the spouse doesn't know. But now when you're in a two entrepreneur home, you're both grinding. And instead of pulling apart from each other, you're pulling together with each other, but you're still kind of essentially pulling away from the home. And everything that we tell entrepreneurs to do is, if you want to see the profits in your business increase, then focus on your marriage, focus on taking care of things at home. And that becomes very challenging. But when you talk about how do I hold my spouse accountable, really, it comes down to, what are my spouse's needs? What are their strengths? What are they very good at? What role should they have in the business? What are my strengths? What am I good at the business? And where can we be a bridge to bring those two together? Because what happens is, an entrepreneur that are married and working together, they don't have clear roles. So their roles are at home are mixed up because they're like, it's always work. The conversations always relate to work. When they're in the business, everybody wants to do everything, and that's where some conflict occurs. So I think the best thing to do when it comes to holding your spouse accountable is really make sure that your roles are clearly defined. You have systems in place that allow you to work in your own space, but allow you to work equally together to accomplish whatever the desired task is.
And there's a few ways that you can do this too. So there's actually a lot of different ways that you can do this.
I want you to pause right there. And
yes,
we want to hear that. But I have a question for you from before when you brought it up. You said there, when you have one entrepreneur in the home, right? I guess that would be the solopreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Or just somebody that starts and owns the business, but the spouse isn't involved.
Owns in the business, spouse isn't involved, or the other, their partner isn't involved. How do you, because a lot of times I've heard this from people and I've experienced it myself, where they're trying to relate to you, but the questions they're asking, the things that they're trying to like connect with just aren't the right, that, you know, you're like, no, the connection is failing here. Right. Do you guys deal with that too? Like, how do you find that connection? Like, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to ask me the right things and you're trying to be supportive, but what you're asking just, it's nowhere near. You're not even coming close to home plate.
Let me help Darren a little bit.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I do.
He does because he's been there.
Allow me to translate. I speak Darren. Okay. It's a really good point. So if you're an entrepreneur, you literally get your teeth kicked in every day, especially in the beginning. And it is one of those things where you can have these days where it feels like you're down and then you got kicked. Then somebody threw sand in your face, dropped something on you.
Yep. Keep going.
You're like, oh my God. That was the worst day ever. And I got to pick myself up. I got to motivate myself to come back and do this again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then you go home to spouse who works a 9-to-5 job, loves her job or his job, and just can't relate.
Or your neighbor.
Or
who's trying to drink beer out of your fridge.
but you're trying to
just here to listen.
And I appreciate it. Sometimes I just need a shoulder to cry on. Don't tell people about that.
Sorry.
But seriously, Darren's got a great point here, because I think a lot of times you'd love somebody and you'd see like, oh my God, they're really down today. How do I connect with them? How do I make them know that I know what they're feeling? And you don't, unless you've been there as the entrepreneur getting your teeth kicked in on a daily basis. It's hard to understand what that's like.
Well, to answer that question, how do you address that? There's two ways that come to my mind very quickly when you ask that question. The first one is to ride the struggle bus. And that sounds weird, and I'll explain it in just a minute. But it's a positive thing. When you ride the struggle bus in this way, it's actually a really positive way. So that's the first thing that I'll explain in just a minute. And before I can share the second thing, I would imagine that you guys personally and every other entrepreneur, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys and every other entrepreneur has some sort of vision for their business. I want this much revenue. I want this many clients. I want to expand this. I want to build my team here. Whatever that vision looks like, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you guys currently have a vision for what you want in your current business?
Oh, hell yes.
Absolutely, you do. And that's the answer for every entrepreneur. Now answer this question. Do you have a vision for your marriage and in your home?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I do.
You see the difference on how quick you respond.
No, I was being facetious. You make a great point. I actually do, because I've thought a lot about this, especially this year. It's a great point. I do, but I'll tell you this: it's not as specific as my business, because I don't know that I've got so much more experience learning how to do business than I do learning how to relationship.
You did that. I remember when you said, like last year, when you went on your corporate retreat, you and Kelly sat down and came out with a specific business plan for the company for the year. And I think what they're saying is...
No. This is actually a great point. You did the
same for your home too?
So we had personal goals in there too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So going back to your point, guys, it's a really good one, Corey, because I have been given so much training. I've listened to podcasts. You know, I've listened to podcasts that aren't as good as this one. You know, yeah, of course. Right. I've read books. I've learned from so many people about how to business. I haven't learned a lot about how to relationship.
Yep. And most people don't, and that's why your response was much slower when I asked if you had a vision in the home and for your marriage, whereas when I asked if you had one in the business, it was automatically yes. And it was very slow. Your response was slow.
Well, that was out of fear, because I know my wife is going to listen to this.
Well, that's totally fine. Most people are even slower than that, because the answer is no. They've never considered a vision for their marriage and for their home. So that's the first place to start, to really help your spouse understand. And the way that you establish a family vision is your spouse now becomes a part of the business. You have a family council. Ooh. Weekly is the best method, but you have an initial family council and be like, okay, these are the goals I want for a family. These are the goals I want for your business. And then as the entrepreneur, they can start to talk with their spouse and be like, okay, these are the things I want for the business. These are the things that are challenging. These are the things that are hard for me. These are the things that you can play a role in, and then get your spouse's input. How can they help? What part of the business do they want to be in? And as you, for many spouses don't want any part of the business, but if you could bring them, even if they're your scheduler, they make sure that all your calendar, like, you know what's coming up the next day. If that's all they want to do in the business, then that's good. That's the entry point where you have the conversation of how do they connect. You start to tell them what is hard for you in your family councils. And as you have a family council once a week or every couple times a week or every other week, whatever it works well for your family, that's where your spouse starts to know your needs. That's where your spouse starts to gain an understanding of what's happening in the business. And once they know what's happening in the business, even if they don't know the terminology, even if they don't know the systems and don't know the process, that's how they can start to speak your language. by learning and understanding what becomes hard for you.
If you think about it for a second before Corey explains the struggle bus, I want to explain something else. If you think about it, especially if you're both not working in the business together, the business can become almost like an affair. Like they're like, what are you doing all the time? What you're on Facebook again? You're with a client for another hour. We're supposed to be eating dinner. Like if you think about it, you can, it equals basically an affair. It builds this wedge in your marriage. Yeah. And they're, of course they're asking questions because they want to be supportive, but they don't have a clue how, because let's face it, not all of us are entrepreneurs and not all of us want to be entrepreneurs. Yeah. And your spouse, many of our spouses are like, you know, I don't really care about the business, but I just want to support my spouse, which is what most spouses want to do. They're like, I don't care what they're doing. I'm proud of them. I'm excited. I just don't know what my role is as a spouse.
Right. And that becomes challenging because when you come home as an entrepreneur, you're tired, you're stressed out. You had that day where you're kicked in the teeth and sand in your face and everything else. You're drowning in the ocean waves, whatever. They just see that emotion, but they don't know how to help. And so until you communicate with them what is hard, the experiences you had that day, they don't know how to support you. Right. And that lack of support will eventually become a wedge because you'll feel, well, they're not supporting me. And they'll start to feel, I want to support them, but they don't value my opinion. They don't think I understand, which is usually the case. So you do have to find that balance, which is a bit hard.
First of all, it's not an affair. It's a full-blown relationship. Yeah. There's no affair.
Or, because I've seen this too, guys, or they see you in that bad state and they think it's them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that can be really, really damaging.
Curled up in the corner.
I mean, you know, when I have a bad day, Mr. Winnie, do I ever make you feel like it's you?
I can.
You know, John just uses an excuse to go to get to the fridge and bring the two of you another beer.
I think John and I have to have better conversations.
Jake has to talk once in a while.
Sometimes I just want you to listen to me, Mr. Winnie.
Exactly. Don't try and fix it. Just listen.
Just listen to me. I just want to be heard.
When he calls you and says, please come up here now, and he's curled up in a fetal position in the corner of the garage.
Corey,
how it feels some days.
So, Corey, you mentioned the struggle bus.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the spouse that's not in the business. They need to get on the struggle bus. I didn't actually know you could get on it. I just get run over by it over and over again. So,
this works for
anybody. So this works for parenting. This works for relationships outside of marriage. It works in anything. Like if you have a team, this works for your team too. But we focus in the marriage because it is more specific to the marriage. Because let's face it, most of us want that emotional bond. Even sometimes men cannot communicate that they want the emotional bond, but us women, like,
oh, really?
We need that.
We have,
you know,
we have our feeling.
I know you have your feelings, but it's communicated 100% different. You
say just one, it's singular, not
we have
plural,
one feeling,
right? Yeah. So,
but yeah, if you keep think going about it, with the struggle bus, you feel overwhelmed. You feel like things are challenging. You feel like when you do have that rough day in the office or the home office or whatever that looks like for you as the entrepreneur, and your spouse asks you when you return home, how's your day? It sucked. Fine. Good. And that's all you say. And then you go to the fridge and get some food, you get a drink, whatever it is, you put your feet up on the couch and it takes time to decompress. And you may or may not be present for the family the rest of the evening. Just depends on what kind of boundaries you have and what you have in place. But when I talk about getting on the struggle bus looks like this. So you get on the struggle bus by sharing three things with your spouse that you struggled with that day. And it can be something you struggled with, something that was challenging,
something
that was uncomfortable, something that you weren't able to accomplish, but you wanted to, whatever that looks like, share two or three of those experiences with your spouse today. And then that gives them a kind of an inside look of how you're feeling. It gives them an idea of why you're presenting yourself the way you are with your emotions or your short tone or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then that gives them an opportunity to listen and build a connection. But as you do that, it will lead to a connection instead of a 2-second thing. My day was fine or my day sucked. It now becomes a 2-minute or a 10-minute or a 20-minute conversation. And it opens the door for your spouse to have solutions as far as supporting you. You guys mentioned about a challenge working with your spouse because all you want to do is uplift them. You want to support them. You want to boost them up. And that's exactly what we want to do in this scenario. And so when we share our struggles with our spouse, now our spouse has an opportunity to unload our burdens, to lighten our load, to make our challenges not so hard. The spouse can't remove all of them, but for instance, if you had a really hard day and all the calls were not going well and all your sales calls failed and all these things, maybe your spouse could make a call for you. Maybe your spouse could have dinner ready for you. Maybe your spouse can do an activity that you really enjoy that would change your mindset. Whatever it is, your spouse can have an opportunity to lighten your burden. And that's huge.
Jake and John are sitting here shaking their heads, like agreeing with you the whole time. So I think they feel this every time they have to podcast with me. So everything that you said, that's a burden. They just have to go home and unload, and their wives don't seem to understand.
You had to podcast with Darren today?
Let me tell you three things. Well, no, let me tell you 30 things.
Let me make you a steak dinner. Let me get
today.
You a beverage, yeah. And let me rub your feet for you. I know you've had a hard day.
So. Well, here's the thing, guys. It doesn't just go one way. Then you turn it and you ask them the same questions. Oh. So that way you're actually able to, it's not a, you know, I mean,
it's a two-way
if your
street,
spouse doesn't
it's not all
saying.
About you, Jake.
But
and that really becomes important when you're in a one entrepreneur home and your spouse is home with the kids and you really don't know what they're going through. The toddler pooped and the baby was sick and they threw the food everywhere and they broke the jar of jam and they finger painted with everything, like all these
or
struggles.
Or they even just had a hard day at work too, you know?
And all these struggles are often on the spouse that's home. Those are often never disclosed either. And so the entrepreneur that has been away from the home all day, they come home and their spouse is a bit off too, and they don't know why. So it's a good way to go back and forth for support for each other. So that's how you get on the struggle bus. And then you get off the struggle bus by sharing three points of gratitude. And when I talk about sharing three points of gratitude, share with each other three things that brought you joy that day, three things that you're grateful for. And hopefully at least one of those things directly correlates with your spouse.
I'm really glad you didn't beat me with a keyboard today.
Well, that's an inside joke. That'll come later.
Yes, you'll understand when you go back and listen to
when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. I want to ask you guys, so I really like the way that you framed talking about understanding each other's strengths and verbalizing that, because Kelly and I have now been in business together for 2 years. And I think that we've lasted longer in business than the average marriage lasts in the U.S. So yeah. I think we're beating the odds. And one of the things that we did, and I'm not at all saying we've got it figured out, because, you know, I think that this is something we'll have to continue to work on in perpetuity. It's difficult, you know, being married and being in business together.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we did is we talked about, so what are you good at? What am I good at? And we talked about that a lot. One thing that we never brought up is what we're not good at. We really focused on each other's strengths. I think not out of wisdom,
really?
I think out of fear.
That's like, what I was going to say, yeah, because
it's like, I don't
the
want
only
to tell.
Reason it's worked is because she's not afraid to unload on you. I mean, she will tell you right now when you screwed up.
Instantly.
And Jake needs that.
Here, let's call her, shall we?
Please, guys, no. I'm afraid. I'm so afraid. But seriously, we've not talked about what each other's not good at. We've focused on strengths. And then being
yes, you
very...
Have. You actually have. You're not giving yourself enough credit.
What do you mean?
You've verbalized it to me, at least, where you've told me where each of you kind of needs help in certain areas, and the other one's there to pick it up because you've discussed it.
Well, we've discussed it more in what we're good at. It's not, I haven't sat down and said, hey, listen, you're not really good at paperwork, so I'm going to do that. It hasn't been like that. It's
Are
hey,
you listening, Kelly? He just told yes. you what you're not good at.
No. That was her talking to me.
Oh, talking to
yes.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, like she's really good at showing empathy.
Yeah.
And there's so many times in our business where you need to listen and just have that empathetic feel I don't do that well.
No, and you've admitted that, and she's said that in front of you. You know, Jake, you're a dumbass.
Your ass.
But no, dumb, but you've always said that. You guys have that balance. There are certain clients that you deal with.
Right.
And there's some that you can't, and she can step in, and it's just like perfect.
Or if the negotiation gets really tense, mm-hmm. and we need to go in guns blazing, and she's like mm-hmm. I hate doing that. You take it.
You do it. So
you're better at it. And so when we talk to each other.
The two of them. Like Jake and Kelly talk to us more than they talk to each other to express these things.
I don't know.
Yes.
Does she talk bad about me?
We should be mediators, right?
You should.
Does she talk bad about me?
No, she didn't talk bad about you. She just explains all your weaknesses and we're like, we know.
Wait a minute. That's talking bad. Anyways, no, seriously, guys, getting back to the point. When we talk to each other, when we communicate about this stuff, we always communicate about strengths. And I think that that's been really important to us. I didn't even think about it. Until you guys started, you know, having this discussion with us. But I think that that's been one of the things that's helped us because I'm not good at everything. She's not good at everything. But I don't even know how I would broach a conversation that my spouse isn't meeting my expectation in a certain area.
With a checklist. Yeah.
And you don't even have to have that. Like, you don't even have to do it with words. So here is one of the ways that you can do that is, right? Man's best thing,
just
right?
Go get a t-shirt that says...
No. So you can sit down together and just make a list of things that you enjoy doing, things that you hate doing in the business. Like I absolutely hate all the techie stuff. Corey takes the techie stuff or he sends it off to someone else. Like I hate the techie stuff. I'm a relationship girl. Like, so those areas, I know those are a weak area, but those are areas that I hate. And I hate them because they are a weak area. And I don't really care to improve those. So I would put on my list things that I love, things that I hate. And then you would put things that you love, things that you hate. And so you don't even have to say like, you're horrible at this. You can say, oh, this looks like something that you don't enjoy. I think I don't mind that area. I can do that area.
Well, when we deal with a business, whether it's our own or contract work or whatever it is, there's things that have to be done. Some of those things we like and some of those things we don't enjoy. There's things that don't necessarily have to be done, but they are done because it's something you are excited about, or they bring you joy, or it kind of helps push your work forward or just makes you overall better.
If neither spouse likes paying taxes, do you just not pay?
Then you hire someone.
You hire someone to pay them for you.
That's the answer I'm looking for, folks.
Well,
still hadn't submitted them yet. That's
the case. If neither one of you like paying taxes, then you need to find someone that's good at that, like cash flow tactics or someone else that really knows how to manage those things. Because we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And how much joy would the business bring you if you did nothing that was exciting? If everything you did all day was a burden, that would be terrible. That would suck and that would not be any fun. So those are some of the things that you can offload first. But the way you have that conversation is with your spouse, the things that they're not good at, is you make a list of four columns. What are the things that I'm good at? What are the things that I struggle at? What are the things that I enjoy doing, but I don't like it? And what are the things that I don't enjoy doing, but I'm good at? So if you make those four columns individually, so personally, if I made those columns, I would put, I'm a good listener, I'm good at service, I'm good at tech, I'm good at whatever, whatever. JoJo's list is much longer for the things she's good at than me. But and then my long list would be the things I'm not good at and whatever that list looks like. And then I can put down the things that I'm good at that I don't enjoy doing. Because now we can make a plan to have someone else do it or minimize my time that I have to do that task. And then the things that I can make a list of things that I'm not good at, but I may enjoy doing them if I had training or I had some learning or something like that. And so once you have those columns, you can do more of the things you like. You can figure out if there's a way to do less of the things you don't like. You can figure out if there's a way to offload, to outsource, get a VA or hire a team member that can take care of some of those other things. But then there's also an opportunity to be like, okay, this is where our training needs to be. I don't know if our training needs to be seminar. I don't know if our training needs to be a book. I don't know if it needs to be a YouTube self-study, whatever it is. And as you make a list individually and your spouse makes a list, now you can take the two lists together and see what matches up. And if you both have weaknesses in something that is crucial, that's where you need to hire a team member or get a system in place that unloads that burden. That's the first place to start. But if your lists don't overlap much, then you stay in your lane with the things you're good at. Your spouse can do the things that they're good at. And that's kind of how you have that conversation. And it's not, it never gets to the point where you're not good at this and it is belittling or making someone feel bad or inferior. It's just kind of the way it is. And it's something that you both have put out.
And I'm glad that Corey mentioned stay in your lane, because that's another thing that can kind of lighten the whole working together, is creating code words for each other. And what I mean by that, and that may totally sound stupid, but it helps with so many different areas. So if, let's say, when Corey and I are, because we do run our business together. So if Corey is doing something and I'm also trying to do something similar, if he were to say, I got this one, or I'm in my lane, stay in yours. Like, it's not a rude thing because we've already talked about it. Like, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate to say to each other. But if you guys were to come up with a code word of mine or code word of something where it's going to spark a fight if you don't stay in your own lanes, basically, but you're not having to be rude about it.
And without actually having a conversation of, okay, these are things I'm good at. These are the things I can do. These are the things I'm struggling at that I need help with, or I need to do at a lower frequency. Without having that conversation, it gets, the roles aren't very clear and things become challenging. But when we have that conversation, now, if we are doing something that we're not good at and we have those code words, it's very easy to instead of being overwhelmed, to call for help and be like, I'm really struggling here. I need your help. I need you to help me figure this out because I'm stuck. And it makes that conversation very smooth and not like someone's inferior or someone is in charge and dominating type of look.
So how would you approach the subject of accountability? Like if your spouse isn't carrying her weight.
Just freaking flat out.
Not
just tell
taking
them.
Care of their lane.
Not taking.
You're not in your lane. You're not even. You haven't even got off this freaking starting line.
I know Jake's thinking he's not going to ask it, but.
I did. Yes. You're going to get me in so much trouble.
There's a couple ways to do it. And I think the best way, without knowing like the specific couple or whatever the situations, the best way to do it is with. It sounds silly again, but it's called soft phrases. And so you'll say something like, hey, I've noticed like this section is not done today. Or, hey, I've noticed like whenever I ask you to message someone, like either you're really slow at doing it. You don't even have to say slow. You could come up with a different way to say that.
Definitely going to lead to a fight. Just saying.
You know? But I mean, you can say like, hey, I've noticed like when you are messaging someone, it's not like you don't really enjoy it. Is that right? You know, and so if you say something like, I've noticed, then you're not saying, hey, you know what? You suck at messaging. You know, you're not saying that. You're saying, hey, it looks like there's something going on right here. Do you either want to talk about it or do you feel like there should be a role switch right here? Like, is this something that bothers you doing it? You know, and you can even say that, hey, I've noticed that whenever we're on sales calls, you don't talk a lot. Is there something like, do you not enjoy sales calls, or is that something that you would rather not be doing? You know, and so if you do notice that, you got to keep them accountable. You got to talk to them about it. But at the same time, you don't want to attack them because that's going to do nothing except for put up a brick wall.
Right, right.
I don't know that I'd make it past hay.
Are you with your guys' humor? You might enjoy unzipping something. So we have a. It's what we call the unleashed love zipper. And what I mean by that is...
What the hell? Just listen.
Who came up with that name?
Color me interested. Please continue.
I'm going to let you on that for a minute. Let's go to somewhere else and we'll come back to that. So drive you crazy.
Wait a minute. You're going to hit me with a love zipper and then we got to come back to it? Yep. Dying here.
All right.
Please continue.
No, okay, I'll share you with it. So if you think about a zipper, whether it's on your pants, whether it's on your coat, wherever a zipper might be, the back of your wife's dress, wherever it is, if you think about a zipper, there's two options. It can be, let's just look with like a hoodie on a coat. It can either be open or it can be zipped up and closed and connected and tight. Or the third option, which is not what you want, the zipper splits in the middle and it's come apart. But anyways, when you have your jacket and it's unzipped, the wind can come in. It's not very secure. If it's your pants, they'll just fall to the floor. It's just no safety, no structure there. But when you zip it up, things are more contained. Things are tight. They're safer. They're stronger. And so we call it unleashed because if you think of the word unleashed, it means to remove the restraints, to take off the barriers, the things that are holding you back is the way that I look at the word unleashed. And so we remove those things that are holding us back, whether it's fear, whether it's poor accountability, poor communication, whatever that is. Eventually, someone's going to have their feelings hurt. Someone's going to feel unappreciated. Someone's going to feel like they're not carrying the load. So this would be exactly how you address the accountability problem. Instead of saying, you're just not getting the job done, I'm going to have to do this myself and you're going to be fired or whatever, or something else that is harsh that is taking away from the needs and the comfort of our spouse, we present it as like a zipper. We kind of zigzag and pull it together so it becomes one solution. So whoever the we call it the unleashed love zipper because when this is used in the home, when there's conflict, it's a really powerful way for a strong, solid connection, but it can be used in the workplace too. And what I mean by that, whoever has a problem, whatever arises, wherever the conflict is, instead of, if Jojo and I are working together and we have a conflict, instead of me telling Jojo, you're just not getting the job done, step it up, pull your weight, you got to do better. That would really hurt her feelings if I told her that. And I'm sure
I would cry.
I'm sure a lot of right.
female, I would too.
But a lot of male or female, that would not go over well for a lot of people. And so when I talk about unzip, I take the problem to them and I don't tell them what that problem is in a complaint form. I tell them what the problem is with the solution. For instance, instead of me saying, Jojo, you're not pulling your weight, I would say something like, we're not hitting our deadlines. Some of these tasks that need to be done are not being done well enough. They're not being done. They're not being completed, whatever that is. And I'll be like, we need to be able to produce better. We need to be able to finish this task more. And for instance, in a way that we could finish that task better would be something like, we need to do more of this. Do we need a more team? Do we need to limit the number of tasks that you have to do? Whatever the problem is, it's hard to describe without a specific problem in mind, but that display is far different than you're not carrying your load, but I've addressed the problem and I've presented a solution. Do we need a team member? Do we need someone else to do this task? Do you need more training? Is this hard for you? Is this something that is miserable? Whatever that is, you kind of are starting to lay the groundwork for a solution. Well, and then your spouse, your business partner, whoever you're talking to, can recognize the problem. They can accept the input that you have. They can add their own input. And then they kind of throw it back to you with their input, their solutions. And then you, the individual with the initial problem, kind of receive it back, take their feedback, take your thoughts, and you both add to it, figure out whatever that solution is. So now you have a problem. You've addressed it in a non-threatening way. You've both been a part of the solution. And now you've taken that zigzag, the two parts of the zipper, and you've brought it together. You've solidified it and made it one. So it's not as exciting as you might have thought, but it is a zipper nonetheless. And it
Corey, becomes... Can I ask you a question?
Hold on. I want to stop here because this is a really important point.
Yes.
I actually want to go back because I think we're missing something that a lot of people don't think about. And then when I verbalize it, you're like, oh, yeah. But I don't know why we don't think about this more often. So I used to have a boss that was on my case all the time, Richard. Or Kelly's as I called name? Him, his nickname was Dick. Rich.
Yeah.
it was. But when he would come to me and say, you know, he would ride my ass about stupid stuff. I didn't like the guy. I'm like, fuck off. You know, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And it didn't bother me. You know, when he's coming to me and saying, you know, you screwed these five things up. I need these reports. I need this and that. And why aren't you this? And I'm like, you know, I don't like you. Whatever. But it's just work. It rolls off my back. I'm objective. I had been working at the company for a long time. Didn't bother me. But when your spouse comes to you, even in a soft approach, and says that you're not meeting my expectations,
talking that's about hurtful. Work, right?
Yeah, yeah. In the business.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Thanks, okay. Darren. Fuck off. Jesus. I got a podcast with this guy. Mr. Winnie, can you help me here?
No,
I'm not.
So, but seriously.
I was just picturing you asking Kelly for TPS reports or something. Kelly, did you do those TPS reports?
Yeah, I'm going to need those by Monday. But really, when your spouse comes to you in a business setting and says to you, even in a soft way, that you didn't meet my expectations, it's hurtful because it's not Richard telling you and just being a jackass because he is. It's actually somebody that you care about. So that makes this whole topic of accountability and tough conversations very, very sensitive.
You know what Mr. Winnie would say right now? Suck it up.
Buttercup,
yeah. Snowflake?
Snowflake.
Snowflake, yeah. But I mean, this is a very big topic, and it's something that we don't think about or we don't verbalize, but it's really important.
Mm-hmm. And that a lot of this can be minimized with clear expectations. So the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear you say that is that we have these expectations that our spouse did not meet. So think about when you have an expectation, whether it's for an employee, your spouse, your kids, if you're a teacher, your students, whatever it is, if you have an expectation for someone and they don't meet it, either your feelings are hurt, you feel frustrated, you get overwhelmed, whatever your feelings are when the expectations go unmet, that all that is a failure to communicate. And what I mean by that is communication up front before that becomes a problem can minimize a lot of these things. So for instance, we have these expectations, but we don't usually tell anybody about them. We just expect them to know what they want, or what we want, what we need them to do, those type of things.
But and if when you say we, are you
might be a problem.
Are you talking about women? We expect them to just know and.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking about people in crickets. General. We have high expectations.
Crickets.
Everyone. But we have low communication, and that is problematic. Think about voting. If you don't vote, a lot of people complain about the outcome. But if you don't vote, you have no room to complain or be frustrated about the outcome because you didn't do your part. Same thing when it comes to expectations. If you don't clearly articulate what you need, what you want, what your desires are, how you need help, nobody can be upset when they're not met.
That does make sense.
When you guys are doing a business meeting and talking about your target goals.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about your targets, hopefully you're doing them every month or quarterly at least, you know, and you're talking about the quarterly or monthly goals.
Or even
where were we
goals.
At right there? That's a perfect opportunity for no one's feelings to get hurt, to strictly talk about the problem because one area lacked. And it's not saying you suck at life, but it's saying this is the area that it looks like this area was a struggle this month or this quarter. Let's talk about it.
Collectively as a team, something's got to change.
So I got to tell you, that's actually one of the biggest saviors that we've had in our business is doing just that. So I think the smartest thing that we did, and you know, this just came from years of experience and listening to people that are smarter than I am. There's lots of them out there, Mr. Winnie. Yes. When we started our business, we wrote down all of our goals. First of all, we had to share the same vision. I don't think that we could be in business together if we didn't have the same vision.
Yep. And you talk about your vision constantly, right?
We do.
It changes and it molds and adapts and you talk about it and that builds that emotional connection as a spouse.
Absolutely. And then the 2 years that we've been in business, we have, been very clear on what our goals are and we break them down on a monthly basis and I have a damn spreadsheet and I track our progress every month to those. Now I will tell you guys, I'm glad to hear you say this because this has saved us many times because I'm telling you right now, we don't have all this figured out. Like we just decided, hey, we can be in business together.
Right.
We didn't think about this strategically like you guys have. Many times we've gotten stuck, we've gotten in arguments, we've had disagreements about things. And I think what has always saved us and kind of got us back on track is it's like, for example, we need to convert more of this type of lead and we're really behind and it sparks a conversation that then turns into an argument. We don't see eye to eye. But then we go back and it's like, wait, we wanted to close 50 sales this year. And if we're going to do that, we need this channel and we need this channel to produce X amount of sales. And we back into, this is why we need to do what we're talking about. And that clarity on our goals and breaking it down by month, what we need to do has gotten us unstuck many times because we just got into a place where we were at each other's throats and we didn't know why, but we stepped back, we thought about the vision, we looked at the goals and we said, well, okay, so it's right here on paper.
Right.
So that makes total sense. Let's shut up and get it done.
Just do it. This is what the fortune cookie told us to do. It's on paper.
Well, and that's exactly right because there's a difference between how we present things. There's a difference between presenting something as a complaint or a problem. When that's the presentation, someone feels inferior. Someone feels like they're not good enough. Someone feels like they're not measuring up. Someone feels like their feelings are hurt. But when a problem is addressed, not with the complaint, but with the solution, it's not nearly as painful. It might hurt. It might be uncomfortable. There's things in life that are uncomfortable. But when we're approached with a solution instead of a complaint or just a problem, it's not nearly as hard to manage. Think about this story for a minute. The presentation is absolutely key. So think about you're a Major League Baseball player, one of the elite athletes. You're a very good offensive hitter. Your batting average, your stats, everything is always above average and high, and you're just an elite athlete. You can hit any pitch that the major leaguer throws at you, slider, curveball, fastball, change, whatever it is, you can hit this ball any position anywhere in the strike zone. Even if it's not in the strike zone, a lot of times you can still do a lot with that pitch that's not very good. So now take a high school pitcher that comes in and throws those same pitches. They're not nearly as good. They're not nearly as effective. So you can as the major league player, you can really destroy those pitches and you can hit a home run. You can get on base, whatever it is, you can score. Whether it's a major leaguer or if high school pitcher, that's like coming to you as a solution. You can do whatever you want with that outcome with the ball, score however often you want. It's unlikely that a high school pitcher is going to have much success striking out or keeping a major league player off the bases. But if we flip the roles and present things as a problem or a complaint, now we flip the roles. Now the major league pitcher is throwing stuff that is overwhelming to this high school batter. They're never going to get on base. They're never going to get hit. They're never going to even want to continue to play baseball because they think they suck. They think that they're not good enough. And so I hope that just briefly kind of displays the presentation is so important. And when we have clarity in our goals, in our tasks, in our roles, with the communication, whatever it is, we have a greater ability to present things as a solution and not a complaint.
I think that works when you, to me, when you say that, what I think of is when there is only that one, the single entrepreneur in the house and the other
Well, actually, Darren's
not there.
I know where you're going with this, but there's a
But what I'm saying is, because this is a question that I've been holding off on asking, because you know, you come home and you're hoping that person understands how your day has been, and they don't, and you're like, I get your day because we've been there, right? We punch the clock, we go in, we know that every week we've got that steady paycheck coming in. And yeah, your issues, as you guys said it in the beginning of this podcast, you can, a lot of your problems, and a lot of us still don't, even with a regular job, you can leave those issues at the door and pick them up the next morning. But it's not always the case, but we can relate easier to that other person's issues, right? So, but when you come home as an entrepreneur and it's like, I've experienced this today, I've had this, and they're not quite relating, well, it's not their fault, right? So they don't know how to swing at that pitch because they've never seen it coming before. As you just said, I've seen a 75-mile-an-hour fastball come from a high school kid. I can smack that thing all day long and knock it out of the park. But when I'm a major leaguer and it's coming at 95 miles an hour, I don't know how to hit that damn thing.
Well, and here's what I was going to say, Darren. I think you're absolutely right. What I would add to that is there's a lot of partnerships that would find themselves in the same predicament because one person might take the brunt of the business and maybe the other partner is part-time or sitting back and doing the accounting or the paperwork and not on the front lines getting, bashed in the face.
But we've got to, whoever that primary one is, that primary entrepreneur or who's holding that business, you have to be able to verbalize and express it in a way that the other person who's trying to support you can understand it.
Sure. No,
And it's your fault. If you don't know how to do that, then you're the one who's failing and they're not the one who's failing. And a lot of times they get the brunt of it because they're like, I'm trying to understand, but I can't. And it's like, you're right. You don't know what I've been through today. And
that's a hard one.
We just don't know the right way to communicate it to them.
Say, I'm the boss.
That's what I would do. That's going to work, thanks. Mr. Winnie. That's perfect. Well, it's difficult because here's a challenge, guys. The problem is so many times you have that day where it's really difficult and you don't want to fucking talk about it anymore.
No, you don't.
So you get back into the safety of your relationship, the happiness of your home, and you're like, this is what I've been craving all day. I don't want to talk about that anymore. But it becomes a problem. Yeah, exactly. And
well, here's the good thing. If you're an all-star baseball player, you only have to be good 33 1/3% of the time to be an all-star, right? All you have to do is have a batting average over 300.
Or if you're a weatherman, you just have to be right 1% of the time.
1/3 of the time. Yeah, 1/3 of the time, you just got to hit that ball and get on base. So,
But it's a good point. It's just what I'm saying is so many of us, it is our responsibility, but it's a difficult thing to do a lot of times, especially if you've had one of those tough days. I want to switch gears a little bit with you guys and talk about this year in particular. We've done a few episodes devoted to COVID and the impact on small business.
We're so close to the end of the year.
We are.
And you want to bring it up.
I do, because this has been a very, very difficult year for small business. And I'm a little bit miffed because we just heard about the new COVID relief plan, which is not a COVID relief plan. It's a steaming pile of Congress legislation is what it is.
Now hold on one second. In all fairness, you said small business, but we have somebody here in the studio who has felt the effects.
You're right.
They're punching the clock every day, big business, and taking pay cuts and everything else throughout the year. And
25% less than last year.
Yeah. So you're right. Everybody has felt this, but we're narrowing in on entrepreneurs as JoJo and Corey's business is designed around.
They're in Vegas. They just go to the tables to make up that lost income.
Right, Darren. The fastest place I've ever seen money disappear is Vegas, okay? But this year has been really difficult on small business owners and entrepreneurs, which means that it's been really hard this year on couples, on relationships. Oh, wow. And I'm just curious, you know, have you guys, what have you guys seen as a result of all this craziness? Has it put extra pressure on certain parts of a relationship, or is it just kind of across the board? This has been extra challenging this year.
Yeah, it's been challenging for everyone. And one of the places that we've seen struggle the most is physical intimacy. And this is the case because the emotional toll that COVID has taken, the connection, the feeling bonded with your spouse has started to drift because people are in a situation where they're unfamiliar with. They don't know how to respond. They don't know when the next check is coming. They don't know. They may have lost a job, and now they're home together with each other nonstop. And instead of an environment that was soft and gentle and supportive, now it's an environment of stress and frustration and lack of communication or increased arguments, increased fights, whatever that looks like. That really takes a toll on emotional connection. And this applies for everyone, but specifically women. If they are not emotionally connected to their spouse, the chances that they have any desire to be physically intimate are very low. And so I think that's where a lot of the problem that we've seen with COVID has occurred, is in the connection, in the intimacy, in the really fulfillment in the relationship by having those strong, deep emotional connection with your spouse.
So, and if you think about it, when we're under a lot of stress, then it is harder to have those conversations, and it is harder to have that emotional connection because you just want to bury yourself and you want to be done with the trial that you're going through, and you don't want to talk about it, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to endure it anymore. But
and you shut down, and
you shut down.
Things are more challenging.
Exactly.
Solutions are not as abundant.
And that's how wedges are created. And so that is the biggest thing that we've seen with couples, is that, you know, they're spending 24 hours a day together, but it's not quality time together. It's more frustration time together, because every second that they're together, they're reminded, like, I lost my job, or my business is failing, or, you know, all these insecurities are coming out.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder. So the less you're in the house, the more I, you know, want you to be around. So those extra 40 hours a week,
you know,
when you're not around
your
spouse.
It's a simple thought from a simple man, but it actually makes sense.
Doesn't it?
I hate to say it, but it's actually a really good point. And I'll actually throw another dimension in this that I didn't hear you guys talk about, and that is children. So this has been really, really hard. I know on my kids.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, get them out of the
Get outside and go do something.
Leave.
Go play.
Go somewhere else.
He's going to teach you some new skills. It's called physical labor. Go dig holes in the backyard for me.
Do something. But, I mean, in all seriousness, guys, I've got three kids. I think you guys have a few more than we do. Just a few. But we have three kids, and it has been really difficult on our children, which therefore has made it really difficult on a relationship.
You know, your children have said that each time I've come over. They're like, please do something. Take my dad out of the house often. Please.
But it's funny. I actually told this story on the podcast. We were in the lockdown for quite a while. And I think after we had been like completely locked down for 2 months, I took my kids to Home Depot one day.
Yeah.
And you would have thought I was taking them to friggin' Disney World.
Yes. Their shoes are on quickly. Everybody's ready to go. Yeah.
They were like singing songs on the way and just laughing. And like, they never seemed happier. And it's like, guys, we're going to the hardware store.
They don't get it.
Do you realize Winnie was in the back of the truck too?
We don't understand this as adults. How can kids understand it? Right. Yeah. But you put that extra dynamic in a relationship, especially where there's entrepreneurial activities.
Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurial mojo.
Yes. I mean, you're absolutely right. It has been a very difficult year for me. I know it's been a very difficult year for others. I'll actually share something with you guys, just kind of baring my soul. Our business has done well this year. We're one of those.
Your love zipper?
Yeah. You will not see my love zipper, Mr. Winnie. I can guarantee you that.
You guys might.
I could assure you. Okay.
You may want to use a different phrase though for a true work environment besides unleashing the love zipper at the office. I'm just saying.
Listen, if your partner is your spouse, sexual harassment's okay. It's good. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
It's fine. Okay.
Making me sick in my belly.
I know. It's Darren. But seriously, guys, getting back to the point, our business has done well this year. Mm-hmm. We were an essential business. We've done well. Our industry has kind of suffered, but we bucked the trend. But we're in a business doing well, and we have been really impacted by this and struggled quite a bit. I can only imagine what it's been like for those that their businesses have been on the ropes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
kids too, like virtual school really rocked a lot of kids' world. Like for us, our town shut down March 18th. So we still had 3 months of school for our kids. Nobody was prepared for that. It was so much confusion. And my kids are at that time pre-K and second grade. Now they're kindergarten and third grade in their virtual school. They don't see their friends. So yeah, there's so much more there. There's more problems with the kids. There's more just loneliness, more tantrums, more everything. And it's really a lot of contention in a lot of homes. And it's been something that people just
the biggest thing that I think that we can do as parents, because it is very difficult on our kids don't know how to communicate it most of the time. And that's where it's you as a parent have to take that accountability, and you have to be ready to talk about the things that are hard for your kids. So it doesn't matter if your child is a teenager or your child is a toddler. You can have difficult conversations with them by just saying, hey, what was hard for you today? Or, hey, I know that it's difficult sometimes to not be able to go see your friends all the time. Or things have really changed since COVID happened. How are you feeling about it? Like, because if we're able to just even spend 10 minutes talking to our kids every day about, and it doesn't have to be like down stuff. It can be, hey, I saw that you did something different today. I liked how you played outside today and weren't on an iPad or something like that, you know? And if we're talking to our children, it allows them that ability to be able to actually open up to you. So you know what their concerns are. You know what's hard for them. You know what's difficult. Same thing with your spouse. If you sit down and talk to your spouse and you say, hey, what's one thing that's hard for you? You know, they can share with you, hey, this is consistently difficult for me. Like having all the kids home 24/7, I feel like I'm losing my mind. You know, I feel like a lot of women will say that. A lot of men will say that, like the kids being home were driving us nuts. Mm-hmm. But the thing is if you're able to communicate with each other, you're able to spend that time with the kids, it helps loosen that frustration in the home because their needs are being met, where maybe their needs were being met before by seeing their friends all the time, by going to school and having those social interactions. But they can't really do that right now. For us, there's no school open. Like it's all at home. And so us having that separation time of, hey, just mom and child, and then the next child. And, you know, like just having those few minutes a day to talk to each other, to spend time, to do stuff together, it changes the dynamics of your home. They still might drive you crazy, but it lessens the blow.
We don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
The struggles and challenges, because everybody's experiences through COVID have been difficult and different, and we've all been challenged in one way or another. But the one thing that is a pretty common solution for many of the problems is gratitude. Just be grateful for the things that you do have, but also be very intentional, because when we're together more and the frustration's built, a lot of times we pull apart, we separate from our spouse or our children, try to get our alone time. But the solution to many of the trials, not all of them, but many of them, is just being very intentional. And I'll share experience about my son. So at the start of COVID, my son, he's currently 5. He was drug exposed. We adopted him through foster care. He's got some delays, speech delays and things like that. We understand him clearly when he talks, but not everyone else does. And at the beginning of COVID, he was playing. Everything was good. And I was working. I wasn't on any calls, but I was doing stuff in at home in the business and stuff like that. And usually if I'm not on a call, I'll work with my door open or whatever. And they're welcome to come in and talk anytime they want, because I'm very intentional with my kids. But this time, my son walked right up to me at the desk, grabbed my hand, pulled me to his room and said, "Will you play blocks with me?" Very, very clear. He's never said the word blocks clearly that anyone would be able to hear it. But very clearly, he articulated the word block. And I spent 15 minutes with him. I stopped everything I was doing. I spent 15 minutes building blocks with him. And he still talks about that now. The fact that I was still and that I was intentional and I paid attention to the needs of my family had a huge impact. I didn't know the impact that was going to have on him, but it's something he still talks about now. He felt valued. He was having a hard day. He was feeling lonely and he didn't have anyone to play with because the other kids were doing their stuff and he felt lonely. So he came to me to fill that void. And I'm so glad that I stopped what I was doing to fill his love bucket up, to help him feel needed and wanted and that he mattered. And because I did that, he's really opened up to me more. He's shared a lot of other things with me since then that are hard. And he's really tried hard to make an even deeper, stronger connection with me. Like, he's always been my little buddy, but now he wants to do everything that I'm doing. He asks me all the time if I can watch a show with him, if he can have his time. Like this morning on Sunday, I watched the 49ers game with him on my phone. This morning, he grabbed my phone and opened up my ESPN app and started watching football highlights because that is something we did. We didn't watch the highlights, but we watched the actual game on Sunday. And that was something that had a huge impact on him.
So you guys watched the Bucs game and how they beat the Falcons this weekend? Wasn't that great?
But I think a lot of that, the problems that can be solved with COVID or any other challenge that we experience is just really be still. Be alert for the needs, the struggles that your loved ones have, and be intentional in trying to lighten their burden.
The way I approach it, though, is a little different because, I mean, I have two girls and I calculated it out that from the time that they're born to the time that they leave the
house.
Kids
aren't a math problem, Darren.
They actually are. This is how you solved it.
Pythagorean theorem.
This is how I discussed it with my kids. I'm like, I expected to spend X amount of hours with you until you graduate and leave the house and you're on your own. So now we're in COVID time. So you are actually, that time bank is exponentially being drawn from. So you need to figure out a plan because my time is done here a lot sooner. It's not my fault if it's COVID's
time.
So
you kick them out when they're 15?
Well, you know, hey, it's not my fault. The 2020 Jesus occurred the way it did.
It's a different way to look at it.
Do you know how many people are rolling their eyes right now?
I apologize, girls. Darren's not right.
I kind of think I understand what he was trying to say, but
I'm not sure I do. No.
He's going to go home and do the math. He's going to be like,
I got to wrap my noodle around that one for a while. I'm not exactly sure.
And Corey, I don't mean to come up on a light end of that, but that's great that what
well,
you've
I mean,
done with
let's
him.
Go back
that's,
to that, right?
It took him
15-minute investment, you know, really changed things for his son. And I don't know. I brought it up because, you know, we could try to boil the ocean on what happened with COVID, and we don't have enough time for that today. But the biggest point that I wanted to bring up is it's brought an extra amount of stress to families. I mean, in a huge way, kids don't understand this. We don't understand it. We don't. Mm-hmm. But
they can sense it.
They can.
But they don't understand it.
No, there's been an uptick in some really bad
situations as well. The additional time with our families has been a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. It's been a blessing because you're getting extra time with them. It's been a curse because, you know, quite frankly, you can't get out.
Well, I mean,
you know, it's like you played every board game, you finished Netflix. Like, yeah, it's all done. Now, what do we do?
According to Darren, you can just, yeah, the clock's ticking.
Right. Well, you guys go figure it out because I'm done with you. I'm done being dad.
You have a whole built in lawn service for the summertime.
Right. Right. Yeah. But it's you know, you take all that extra pressure. And you compound that with being an entrepreneur, and it's a lot. And so, you know, one of the things that I want people to know walking away from this podcast today is that they have options, they have help. And you guys have actually tailored your business to helping people that are in this exact scenario.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, because so many of us need help. You know, this has been very difficult. This has been a difficult year on everybody, but being an entrepreneur without 2020 mm-hmm. is hard. Mm-hmm. So you guys, tell us a little bit about your business. It's Our Family Strong. How can we find information about you guys?
So we do have a website called ourfamilystrong.com, but a better place to find us is on Facebook, either Corey Rankin and JoJo Rankin. We do have a Facebook group for married entrepreneurs who are married and desire to have a strong marriage and a strong business, which is the name of both our podcast and our Facebook group. So that's a great place to start to kind of come into our world. It's just to get into our Facebook group that is fairly new, but it's a space where entrepreneurs have the same goals. They want a strong family. They want a strong marriage. They want a strong business. They can share their wins. They can share their struggles. One of the greatest things that we can do in time of need is to increase our support system, increase our circle of the people that really can boost us up.
So let me go back. What is your Facebook group called again?
Strong Business, Stronger Marriage.
Strong Business, Stronger Marriage. I think we could probably figure out how to link to that in our socials.
Yeah.
Can we do that, Darren? I don't know.
I can take care of that for you.
It's Darren's strength. It's not mine.
This is one of those
things. See, our relationship's getting stronger.
You know,
I can't wait to unleash his zipper.
Don't even talk.
Please don't.
Don't. Yeah, please don't. Oh, jeez.
Sorry, guys. Oh, that he just went where no man should go before. Mm-hmm. But you've also written a few books, haven't you?
Yeah, we have.
And what's the name of the latest book you've written?
It's out there. Our son wrote a book at 7 years old. Yeah, the most recent one is Keeping Your Marriage and Business Alive. And we have that on ebook, and then we also have it just on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and look up Corey Rankin, mm-hmm. Then there that shows all five of our books.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. What's the name of the book that your son wrote?
Yeah, so that one's called Will You Be My Friend?
Heck yeah.
And he wrote it on a football story. It was a bedtime story that he decided to write a book because he was like, I'm going to write a book before you guys write one. So he literally did.
Oh, there you go. He's an entrepreneur right there.
I like this little chap.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You might actually be able to read that book, Mr. Winnie.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You only said that once already. I don't know what you're trying to get at.
Did he use two-syllable words at all?
Oh, boy.
I'm just trying to make sure Mr. Winnie could read this.
Frustrated.
So you guys, so you've got your Facebook group. You've got the website, Our Family Strong. Is it ourfamilystrong.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go to ourfamilystrong.best if you want to reach out to us directly.
All right, cool.
That's and we'll link to, like O-U-R.
No, it's R. Whoa, the letter R.
The letter R.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure we've got it
I'm
right.
I'm glad you clarified that, Darren. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage our listeners because I think that the one thing that's been really powerful about our discussion today is that there are so many people that have been listening along this discussion, shaking their head up and down. Yes, yes, I get it. I'm there. And, you know, as much as we really enjoyed listening to you guys today, I think that, and you guys would probably back me up on this, everybody's solution is going to be a little bit different because everybody's dynamic and their relationship's a little bit different.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's how we work with entrepreneurs is – we do have a coaching program that is really intended to help entrepreneurs increase their profit, but they increase their profit by taking care of their marriage and making that stronger and taking care of things at home. So we do have a coaching program that is, we get on a call with these couples that may be in need, see if we're a good fit to work together and see kind of where they're at, where they want to go and how we can best help them. So if anyone was interested in scheduling a call or seeing how we could better help them improve their relationship, even if their relationship's already strong, we can help them make it even stronger. Because what we want everyone to feel that they can have a thriving business and a thriving marriage. And it's possible a lot of entrepreneurs lose hope that they can have both. And they often think that if I just grind now, I can take care of everything for my family later. And that's the wrong approach. So we do have a coaching program. If you want to explore that, go to ourfamilystrong.best. And that's a link to our calendar that you could schedule a call with us.
Very cool. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on and talk about this topic. I mean, it's such an important topic. In as I said, it's one that I am very interested in because my business partner happens to be my spouse.
Too bad we didn't know about it. Does Kelly need to get you any presents yet?
I'm just hoping I'm still married after this podcast.
Well, I think I've got a suggestion for her to put something in your Christmas stocking.
Well, actually, I think it's this beer that we... So as we were sitting here talking, guys, we actually switched over. We have an experimental IPA from Lime Creek called Cloud to Ground IPA. And I don't know much about this because it's got kind
it's
of
like
a...
lightning.
It's so good.
Just show up at the brewery and drink it.
Yeah, I mean...
They can't. They're in Las Vegas.
Well, yeah, they can, but people here in our neighborhood can.
I could fly them out a six-pack when I head out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm.
They wanted it.
Yeah, I doubt it would make it, guys. I mean, you know, Darren can make you all the promises he wants, but as soon as he steps on a plane with a six-pack.
I could bring you some empty cans.
Yeah.
You could smell
this
it.
This one's really good, guys. We've got the generic experimental label, so we don't know much about it, but man, does it taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Hoppy, balanced. Oh, my gosh. So if you happen to get to the brewery, ask for the Cloud to Ground IPA. You can get a six-pack. I don't know that they're selling this one in stores, are they? Do you know?
No, this is only... Now, they
you
do have...
You got to the brewery.
They have a crowler machine. So
they got a crowler machine?
This, you can actually not only get a six-pack of this at the brewery, but you can get it in crowler size. So Corey did say, you know, he brought up major league hitters, you know? The ones that are all-stars, and I said, all they could do is be one-third, 30.
Yeah.
I just had my third. Now you get to have a third of this, so we're all going to be like...
We're all sharing
all-star beer drinkers.
We're not drinking after each other. We're pouring it in glasses,
folks. We have
a
300 batting average each.
Well, give me my 300. That's delicious. And please make sure, folks, that you are supporting Lime Creek. If you're in the Atlanta area, don't drink crappy beer. Drink Lime Creek. It's not difficult.
Damn, skipping.
And Corey and JoJo. Okay,
I have one more question for you. I'm actually surprised that our five kids haven't been banging down our door. How can we best support you or your listeners?
Well, I think you've already done it. You're raising awareness on something that, and I'm going to speak specifically to men. I'm going to be a sexist pig. Sorry, guys.
You don't know how to talk to women very well.
Well, no, I'm one of those guys that believes in science, okay? I think there's gender differences. I think so many times we as men don't think about this kind of stuff enough.
Mm-hmm.
Being an entrepreneur just by itself, if you are single, is really hard. But being an entrepreneur in a relationship is really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a perfectly healthy relationship and ruin it through being an entrepreneur. You can. So it's really important that you think about this topic. And I think that you guys coming on and talking about your experience and how you help entrepreneurs, you've already helped our audience more than you can know. I just want them to think about the fact that there are people like you out there that they can reach out to for help.
Corey, I have a great way to help. You know, you've asked how you can help. You can give the gift over the holiday season of people subscribing to the Beer and Business Podcast.
Yes.
And it's free. Right.
It's $3.
Yeah. So thank you for asking that. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And we really do appreciate your time coming on. We know your time is not free. So coming onto the podcast and talking to our audience has been really beneficial. And I hope that your business does really well. And I hope that our audience will support you. We've got a great audience. They are super engaged with what we do. And guys, if you find yourself wondering how you can strengthen your relationship, reach out to Corey and JoJo.
Yes, please do. And we appreciate you bringing this on. And I just want to close with two last things. Whenever you have a problem, solve the problem with gratitude and increasing love for your spouse, for your children, and be intentional. Be intentional in everything that you do, in your home, in your marriage, in the bonds and connections and relationships you have with your children, and also in the business. Be intentional. When we're intentional, we become better. When we are better, we can do more, we can become more, and we can have a greater impact. So show an increase in love in all that you do and be intentional.
Well said.
That's awesome. Well, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Reach out to Corey and JoJo. Seek them out. Our family's strong. Guys, thank you so much. Have a very, very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.